This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وأحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please excuse me for the delay. I actually forgot something at home and I just sent the family back home to get it. And subhanAllah, it's the last few nights of Ramadan and everyone is scrambling. So you have everyone asking you all these questions. What do I do if I did this? What do I do if I missed this or missed that? Or I didn't do, you know, I didn't fast or I, you know, I'm taking medication. All these different things, subhanAllah. It's amazing how many things come in at one point in time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us. I mean, Hassan, is this yours? Do you want to use it or? You could take it if you want, it's up to you. I just don't want you to feel like you can't touch it. Today we're going to be covering Suratul Mulk, which is the 67th surah of the Qur'an, and we will go all the way until the end of Suratul Mursalat, surah number 77. So basically we're covering the 29th juz of the Qur'an, and tomorrow inshallah we will do about half of a juz, and the following night another half as well. So tomorrow will be a little bit more light, as well as, you know, the ability to elaborate on a few things, inshallah. And if there's a few things we don't cover today, we'll cover it tomorrow as well. In Suratul Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the surah known as the Dominion, right? Suratul Mulk. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. In the first six verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights His might and His power. And we'll recite the ayat, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ.
So in verses number 1 to 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, blessed is he in whose hand is dominion. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his hand. Does Allah have a hand? Right? We never went into this sort of discussion during the entire month of Ramadan. Does he have a hand? Now here, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, like, you know, it's in His responsibility, it's in His control. But we do also affirm and believe the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He uses to describe Himself in the Qur'an. In various different places, He uses words that describes Himself. However, we don't know the description of those things. So for example, if Allah says He has hands, or we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face, right? That on the, when we enter Jannah. So we don't know the description and we don't try to explain it. We don't try to describe it at all. We affirm that Allah has this. He affirms it Himself, and that's why we affirm it, and khalas, we leave it at that. So we believe in it and we don't try to explain it.
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only is He in control of everything, He has the ability to further control it. He has the ability to further control something. ليلة القدر. is right, you know, found in one of these nights, and tonight is the 25th night of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during that night, we know it's called Layla al-Qadr, the night of Qadr, the night of decree, the night of power. And that night is the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only is it attributed to the Quran, but now what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command to the angels to carry out certain things for the rest of the year. Right? To carry out certain things for the rest of the year. We also know that dua is something that changes qadr. Dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, is something that can change qadr. And so there are certain things that are already set to happen, and certain things that can change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control of that. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. It is He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created death and life to test you, which is us, right? To test us as to which of us is best indeed. And He is the exalted in might and forgiving. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to talk about His creation. We mentioned He discusses His might, His power, and then going on to His strength and His creation. He created the samawat, the seven skies, and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. So the seven heavens or the skies in layers, right? طِبَاق, in layers. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوَتٍ. You do not see in the creation of the Most Merciful any inconsistency. There's nothing that you could say, well, you know what, Allah is deficient in this. Or, no, this isn't, it's not right, something is missing. Right? It's not consistent. There's something that isn't right. It's not there. There's something that's missing. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in the best way that it should be created in. And if it was created in a way that we as human beings think it should have been done a different way, that's because we don't understand the reasoning behind it. We don't understand the reasoning behind how or why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created something in some way. For example, why is it that we have two eyes and not four? Two in the front and two in the back. Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to see 360 degrees? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us this way for a certain reason, right? Maybe we'd go crazy if we could see in the front and in the back at the same time. Our brains, you know, subhanAllah, would be working too much. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the best way. Allahu alam. I don't know. I never asked him that question. But we leave this up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the things that he did in his life was through wahi. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we described, He gave him things or put him in situations where he had to either speak or don't speak or deal with things in a certain way. That was all through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So we leave that up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew things that was happening behind him, this was because Allah is informing him. We know that he didn't have the knowledge of the unseen except for what Allah allowed him to be aware of, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Then, in verse number 3, so return your vision to the sky. What do you see? Do you see any breaks? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sky. Then He says, look at the sky. Do you see anything? He mentions that He created it in consistency with seven different layers, seven different tabaqat. Do you see any inconsistencies? No, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's created that way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then look again. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ. Look again, what do you see? The second time that you look, your vision will return to you humbled while it is fatigued. Humbled, as in, subhanAllah, amazing is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatigued because you're trying to look beyond what you can't see, and even further, right? Sometimes you look at the stars. Are you looking at the stars in the middle of the night and you take a telescope, or you take binoculars and you look at it and you know what, you're not satisfied. Then you want to take a telescope that's even more powerful. So you use that and you look and you're still not satisfied. We want to go and see it. So we become fatigued looking at it, but subhanAllah, we are humbled because the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so big, but we see it so small. Right? And we feel that thing is massive. Huge, powerful, the sun for example. But when you look at it, you could put your thumb in front of your eye, and it's gone, right? You just put your finger in front, your thumb, and it blocks the sun, subhanAllah. But if it was to come closer, it's even bigger than the earth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, protect us from the hardships on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Verses number 6 to 11, he describes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes Jahannam, or describes things that lead up to Jahannam. And I don't want to get into too much of the details, inshaAllah. But you can read over that in verses 6 to 11. Verse number 19, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضٍ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. Do they not see the birds above them with wings spread out? Now when you look at a bird, subhanAllah, Allah is just identifying one of the small creations of His. You know, just yesterday there was a bird walking above that windowsill. I saw it during the halaqah. Allah knows if it will come back today. But I saw a bird over there, really small bird, and it just caught, you know, my eye because the sun is shining through and I could see something moving. But subhanAllah, when you look at the bird, as small as it could be, it spreads its wings and it flies. Now it's small. What about a bigger bird? It spreads its wings and it flies. And sometimes it, you know, the wings go out and it brings its wings down. Right? As it's flapping, it brings its wings down. We know that aerodynamics are there because it's moving. But subhanAllah, imagine if the bird simply stands there with wings straight out, will it fly? No, it needs something first. It needs a gust of air. It needs a tilt in the wing. And now I'm starting to draw our attention to what? An airplane. You think of an airplane sitting on, you know, the tarmac at Pearson right now. Is it flying? If it's just sitting there, if huge gusts of wind come, will it lift it into the air? No. What does it need? A stronger gust of wind. Why? Because it's much heavier than a little bird. So it has engines that create that stronger amount of wind that goes under the wings. And then also what happens? The wings, it tilts. It doesn't really tilt, but you know, it expands. There's little partitions, I don't know what they call them, winglets or flaps that come out, and they catch the wind, and then it allows it to start moving and pushes it. But subhanAllah, the bird itself is exactly the same way. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us from the bird to now have the airplane. Hundreds of tons of weight flying in the air with cargo inside of it, with people inside of it, but it's still flying in the air. Subhanallah. How is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what is being used to lift it into the sky? Wind, air. That's all it is wind and air. And subhanAllah, it travels faster than the cars that we drive, right? Moving up to 1,000 kilometers an hour at 36,000 feet in the air, subhanAllah. And it's flying through the sky. Why doesn't it fall? It just has these two little things that, you know, if you look at it from a distance, you think, you know, if you drive down, what's that street, Mavis, or Hure, Ontario, going towards the 401, around that area, 401 in Hure, Ontario, and you see the planes coming down to land by, you know, as they're coming into Pearson Airport. You sometimes look at it from an angle and you wonder to yourself, how is that thing flying in the air? How is it there, subhanAllah? And we know the dynamics of it. We understand how it works. We understand how, you know, the air and the wind and the engines, etc. But subhanAllah, it's amazing still to comprehend that something so heavy can float in the sky. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here. None holds them aloft. Nothing is holding it in the air, in the sky, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the command of Allah, it stays in the air. Right? With the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know, subhanAllah, if the wind is what's, those of us that say, oh, you know what, it's the wind. The wind is what's keeping it in the sky, the air, etc. But sometimes the air counteracts and the plane just falls. Right? Sometimes you have what they call, I think, a slipstream. It's very famous in Dubai, at the airport in Dubai, because there's so many planes landing one after the other. They space them out with the minimum amount of required space. As one plane lands, another one is coming in to land. And so there's a stream of air that, subhanAllah, travels behind it. That stream of air can actually knock the whole plane out of control, and the pilot can no longer land it. While at the same time, it could just drop the plane right to the ground, subhanAllah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. Even though He provides the wind for the plane to lift in the air, He's in control of that plane in the end, or ultimately, He is the one that's in control. We move on to Surah Al-Qalam, which is the 68th surah of the Quran. Surah Al-Qalam is known as the surah of the pen. Which pen? This pen? Which pen? Ilm. Which pen? The pen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to write upon Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. Which pen is that? That's the pen that was commanded to write the Quran. Commanded to write what would happen in life and in history and in the future. That pen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. But we also know that it's the pen that we use. And we use a pen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to use the pen. And you know, even though we have all these tablets and stuff like that, computers and tablets and phones and touchscreen, what is the best thing to use at the end of the day? A pen, subhanallah. We all agree that it's a pen. And those that disagree, they will somehow agree to disagree that it is the pen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for us the pen. Noon. Wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. Wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun. Wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Fasatubsir wa yubsirun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us Noon, the pen which was used to write the Quran and the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Lawh al-Mahfuz, Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the protected tablet. Who wrote it? Who inscribes, as Allah, sorry, let me rephrase that. Who inscribes, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first verse, Noon, by the pen and what they inscribe. Who is they? Who is they? The angels, exactly. What are the angels writing? Laylatul Qadr. What did I just finish saying? They're receiving the command of Allah. What is it that they need to do for the next year? Okay, that's one thing. Secondly, what else do the angels write? Our good deeds and our bad deeds, what we do, what we say that's good, what we do, what we say that's bad, where we go, etc. Right? That's written. Then they write, they continue to write. And so they, you know, the writing down and the documentation of things is important in our deen. It's something that, subhanAllah, we've taken to the next level. And this is why we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is written, documented and protected. We have the Quran that even though it could be destroyed, people might take copies of the Quran and destroy them, but it's still protected within us. And even though it's protected within us, we are encouraged to what? To write it down, document it. And so writing is important in our deen. It's important for us to be people that continuously write. I remember a classmate of mine a few years ago while I was in my master's program. I think it was in my first semester, subhanAllah. This student, he came from a country where it's normal that we use tablets and MacBooks or, you know, laptops and so on. And so he was not used to writing with a pen. And the teacher said, you know, we're going to have an exam in class. We weren't ready. None of us were ready. Says, we're going to have an exam. Okay, khalas. Everyone take out a piece of paper. He wrote down 3 questions. He says, answer those questions. The questions required a lot of description. You had to write. It was 3 questions, but we had 2 hours and none of us actually were capable of finishing satisfactorily within those 2 hours. And this one student, subhanAllah, he got so upset, he threw his pen on the ground, he took his paper, crumpled it up and threw it on the ground. He says, who makes us write these days? We're taught to type, we're not taught to write. And he got upset and he left. He literally just walked out of the exam, simply because he could no longer write. His hand was hurting from writing. Subhanallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the pen. It's important for us to always be people that can write, and write of different sorts as well. Not only with the pen, but also be able to type. Now we live in a day and age where we can learn to type faster and faster, and it's a tool. So we should be people that are very dynamic. Okay, that's what our deen teaches us, to be very dynamic. In verse number 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not a madman, as they said. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ You are not, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the favor of your Lord, a madman. You are not a madman. And this is important for us to understand, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that during the time of the revelation, when it was coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people were saying he's a madman. Was he a madman? No. They were saying this is poetry. Was he a poet? No, he wasn't. We took that verse as well. Allah says he's not a poet. What was he? He was someone that was illiterate. Could he read? No. Could he write? No, he was not someone that could read, and he was not someone that could write. Therefore, he was not a poet that would write and read poetry and try to compose, and he didn't know how to do that. He didn't know how to make sentences, like sentence structures of poetry form or format. However, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, he was given gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was normal for them to speak with, you know, a very poetic way of speaking. And I think we touched upon that as well when we spoke about the Arabs and how they're famously known for that, for poetry. The Persians as well. We see it coming out of different countries like India, Pakistan, you know, Bangladesh. Very rich in poetry. That region of the world, subhanAllah, poetry is something that they cherish. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he wasn't a madman. Because the things that he was saying of the verses of the Quran was not coming from his own whims and desires. It was coming from Allah. And he wasn't just reading it in another book and coming and saying it to other people. He was someone that couldn't read. He was someone that couldn't write. So he wasn't sitting there writing in the middle of the night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was receiving revelation from Allah. And therefore he was teaching the Sahaba and teaching the Mushrikun, the Quraysh, what he was receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as revelation from the Quran. Let's skip to verses number 48 to 52. In verse number 48 to 52, which is the last five verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here the importance of being patient and not being in a rush like Yunus alayhi salam was with his people. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, don't be impatient like the person of, or the companion of what? كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ Right? The companion of the whale. The person who was in the belly of the whale. Who is that? Yunus alayhi salam, I mentioned it. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us here, indicate to us that he was impatient? When was he impatient? Exactly. He left his people before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember when I described the story of Yunus alayhi salam? He was calling his people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop the sins that they were doing, right? And he warned them of a punishment that would come to them if they don't believe, or sorry, if they don't stop those sins and purify themselves. But then Yunus alayhi salam left before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he left, the sky started to change colors. Was that the punishment? No, that was a storm. But the people thought, Yunus left, the sky is changing colors, the punishment must be coming. Let's turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over 100,000 people turned and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. All of them wept, all of them started to, you know, seek forgiveness, but Yunus left. And that was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. When Yunus alayhi salam left, he was not patient with his people to the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered him or would have ordered him to leave. And so he left. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is a lesson for us. We don't say that this is something wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, he says, don't say that I am better than Yunus ibn Matta. Do not say that I am better than, or that you are better. In different narrations it says he, as in him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in other, you know, explanations, it's, you know, indicating that we as human beings, as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, as well as us, don't say you're better than Yunus because you're patient, Ibn Matta alayhi salam. Don't say that. Why? Because he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was also the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happened took place because Allah wanted it to happen for us to learn from. And so we learn from the examples of the prophets and messengers of the past. We move on to the 69th surah of the Quran. Surah Al-Haqqah. In Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here the surah known as the reality. The first few verses we're going to skip, and we'll go right to verses number 19 to 24, because these are powerful verses for us to try and understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهُ. So for the one, as for the one who receives his book in his right hand, what will he say? هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهُ. This person, you know, he will say, here, read my record. Right? This is my book, read it. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَهُ. Indeed, I thought that I was going to be someone, you know, that would, and hear what it's indicating, you know, I would be meeting my account, or I would definitely now see that my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds. So this person would think, and this could be any one of us, this person would think that you know, are about to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receive your book of deeds, and it's going to indicate to you that you did more evil than goodness. But this person receives their book, and they get it in their right hand, and they receive it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they call out to people, they call out happily, joyously, not showing off, not boasting. I thought that I was going to receive now, you know, a clear account showing the opposite, but they're happy because they received goodness. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. So he will be in a pleasant life. He will be pleased, happy. Jannah is written for this person. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. An elevated Jannah, right? Jannah is elevated, we know that. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. This person will be pleased with the life that they're given, an elevated status known as Jannah. Its fruits will be picked and hanging near. So this person, as we mentioned the other day, the fruits will come lower and you could simply pick it and eat it, consume it. You won't need to exert yourself and go and climb a coconut tree to have a coconut. It will, you know, bend down to you. The tree will bend down to you and you can simply have it. The branches will come lower. You can take what you want from the fruits of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, kulu, he tells, or he, it will be called out or told to that person, kulu washrabu, eat and drink, hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyam al-khaliyah, with satisfaction from that which you yourself put forth of the days that you lived in the past. Remember yesterday we indicated tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is the next life, the hereafter, right? Not today, and tomorrow as in June 30th is tomorrow. Tomorrow as in the hereafter. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala backtracks, shows us what you did yesterday, what you did in the past. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Those days that just passed, what you used to do, now you could benefit from what you earned during that time. And then in verses number 25 to 37, it switches, it changes. The person who now receives their book and is not too happy with what they received. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَهُ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهُ يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةُ. Here, the person will say, But as for he, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to us, as for he who is given his record in his left hand, he will say, oh, how I wish I had not been given my record. How I had not received this. I wish I had never received this in their left hand. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهْ And had not known what is in my account. I wish that I had not been given this book and not known what it contains of all the evil that I had done. And subhanAllah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ I wish my death had been the decisive one. خلاص. You know, that's it. No more death after this. Why did I have to be resurrected? Why did I have to be given this book in my left hand? Why did I have to see all the things that I did wrong? مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَهْ My wealth didn't do any good for me. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَهْ Mal, my wealth, it didn't do anything good for me. I lived a life thinking, oh, I have all this wealth, I'm a good person, and you know, I help others, etc. But maybe you didn't earn it the right way. Maybe you didn't spend it the right way. Maybe it just wasn't used in the proper way. Maybe the wealth itself was used perfectly fine, but your behavior was not the right behavior. Maybe you were arrogant. You used it right. You gave it in charity, but you weren't sincere in the way that you gave it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this person here will say, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَهْ My wealth, it doesn't even do anything for me now. Even if I lived completely, you know, proper in the way that I earned and spent and behaved, but that wealth itself, I can't buy freedom now. I can't buy freedom. I'm standing before Allah. I can't say, you know what, Allah, here, all the wealth I amassed in on earth, take it now. Take it as sadaqah. Take it as whatever you want. Just take it and give me jannah. No, ma aghna anni maliya. It's useless now. It's useless. You might have been someone of status because of it, but now it's useless. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَهْ Gone from me is my authority. That person might have also been, let's say, the CEO. They may have been the president. They may have been the imam. They may have been the sheikh. They may have been the hafiz, right? A person of authority. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that even that person of authority has no authority and no status standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خلاص, it's done. Actions are judged by their intentions. Alright? Actions are judged by their intentions. Why did you do that? What was your intention behind that action? As someone who may have even been the Qari, who's reciting the Qur'an, who everyone praises, who people love, who people want to listen to over and over, maybe that person was reciting not because of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe they were reciting to be known as the Qari. The person who can recite, the famous person, and seeking fame. And we know in the hadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, that will be the first person that's dragged on their face and placed into Jahannam. First person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. Ameen. خذوه فغلوه ثم الجحيم صلوه ثم في سلسلة ذرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوه Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّهُ Allah will say, seize him and shackle him. Take that person, tie them down. خلاص, they can't go anywhere. Even if they try to run, they can't run. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّهُ Then into the hellfire. Take them, bring them, drive them into the hellfire. Push them, even if you have to. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا 70 ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ Then into a chain whose length is 70 cubits, insert that person. Let them be there. Let them not be able to even leave. Khalas, they're stuck. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and protect us. You can read through those verses. We're going to move to the next surah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Surah number 70 is Surah Al-Ma'arij. Surah Al-Ma'arij. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in verses number 8 to 18, the criminal or the wrongdoer. In fact, let's, you know, look at it from the beginning. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ A supplicant asked for a punishment bound to happen. So someone is asking about this punishment that's bound to happen. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ To the disbelievers of it, there is no preventer. There's nothing that will prevent you from receiving what you should receive, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who will judge and decide. Min Allah dhil ma'arij, it is from Allah, the owner of the ways of ascent. Ta'aruju al-mala'ikatu war-ruhu ilayhi fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu 50 alf sana. Fasbir sabran jamila innahum yarawnahu ba'ida. The angels and the spirit will ascend to him during a day the extent of which is 50,000 years. Who is the spirit? I didn't want to mention it, but who is the spirit? Jibreel alayhi salam. As opposed to Christianity, when they hear the spirit, who are they referring to? They're referring to a component of God. I would not say God, because they say there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they say that all three of these is one. And so the spirit is a component of the Trinity. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us and them a deeper understanding of the verses mentioned in the Bible as well as in the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from any sort of misunderstanding of the verses of the Quran. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. The ruh, similarly in Surah Al-Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. The angels, and there is one angel that is, you know, always singled out above all the other angels, and that is Jibreel alayhi salam. He brought down the wahi to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He met with the other angels, prophets and messengers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as ar-ruh, the spirit in translation, but he is known as Jibreel alayhi salam. In verse number 8, يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. They will be shown each other. The criminal will wish that he could be ransomed from the punishment of the day by his children. Subhanallah. That person will wish to be ransomed, to be saved, to be protected by their children.
وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ.
Not only by their children, but by their spouse. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ. So here, his wife and his brother.
وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ.
And his nearest kindred who sheltered him. Those that looked after them. It could be the parents, it could be, you know, an uncle, an aunt, it could be someone, a relative who looked after them.
وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِي.
And whoever is on earth entirely, so then that person would save them. So we know that in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the person who's going to be running after, trying to find salvation or protection or some sort of help on the Day of Judgment from someone. Either intercession or good deeds, or help me, just protect me, do something good for me, and everyone will be saying, nafsi, nafsi, me, myself, and I, myself, myself. I don't know if I'm going to be someone who's successful. I can't spare a single good deed, because that good deed that I might give to you could be the good deed that tips my scale. I'm sorry, I have no guarantee for myself. There's no way that I'm going to spare any of my deeds and give to you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, when he mentions the criminal, who is the criminal? The criminal is the person who first of all disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieves in God. Also the person who sins regularly. And we know that disbelief is the greatest sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He refers to those who disbelieve as criminals. Let's move on to Surah Nuh, a powerful message that we get from Surah Nuh, titled after Prophet Nuh or Noah, those that know him as Noah. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is told in verses number 5 to 13 how, and we see here how he complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا.
He says, رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I called upon my people night and day.
I invited them night and day, going to them, inviting them towards what? Towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laylan wa nahara. In the night as well as in the day, regularly, constantly, for how many years? 950 years, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, He was calling to His people. 950 years. Laylan wa nahara. Regularly, constantly. Now this indicates to us that Nuh alayhi salam didn't even rest. As in, his resting point. Now I don't mean he didn't sleep. Don't misunderstand. Of course we have to sleep. But his mission regularly, as frustrated as they could be, the prophets and messengers, as tiring as it is, the message needed to be conveyed and they took that seriously. Weekend? There's no such thing as a weekend in our deen, right? The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, I will pray five times a day on Monday to Friday and not on, you know, the weekend. Or I will call and invite people regularly, but on the weekend I need a break. No, the Prophet ﷺ would take breaks on a regular basis every single day at the specific times that we mentioned. Which times? During the night. So we mentioned after Isha. Also, he would wake up for tahajjud and he would go back to sleep. He would wake up for tahajjud and he would go back to sleep for a portion of the night. And then he would also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the afternoon, he would take a qaylula. So there were three times in the day where he would rest. Weekend? No, there was no such thing as, okay, kick back and just relax for two full days, 48 hours. No. It was constant. And so Nuh alayhi salam, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I called them regularly, all the time, night and day. فَلَمْ يَزِدُهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. But my invitation increased them not except in flight. As in, I continue to call them, continue. But the more that I called them, I realized, and Nuh alayhi salam, as time went on, those that believed, it came to a point in time where there was a maximum amount that believed and the numbers started to dwindle. The numbers started to slowly decrease. So then we see in verse number 8, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. Get it? When he was calling his people, he said, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. Every single time, constantly, when I would call them and invite them to you, and because you're the one who forgives them, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ. They put their fingers فِي آذَانِهِمْ. I'm doing that on purpose. They would block their ears so they wouldn't hear the message coming from Nuh alayhi salam. What do we see happening today? I gave this example last year, right? What do we see happening today? I didn't bring them with me. Anyone have earphones? Put your earphones in your ears. What are people doing? Putting earphones in their ears and, yeah, right? Listening to things that distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Listening to things that distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Youth in particular, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the adhan clock in the house. They don't want to hear their parents calling them to, you know, clean up their rooms and do good things. Not just pray, do goodness. They don't want to hear it, so they block their ears, they plug their ears, and now subhanAllah, we even have those noise cancelling earphones where you can't even hear someone that's yelling at you, and subhanAllah, it's completely silent. And they used to do this as well. جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَسَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And they would draw their cloaks, like we have hoodies today, hoodie sweaters, they would draw it over their heads, just like you see the youth doing today, earphones in their ears, hoodies over their heads. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. Just leave me alone. Let me mind my own business. You mind your own business. I'll live my life. You live your life. That's exactly what they were doing during the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Exactly the same thing. Subhanallah. Then he goes on to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they persisted in this and were arrogant. They were arrogant as well. He then goes on to say, ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. Then I invited them publicly. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Then I announced it to them and also confided to them secretly. So he went publicly speaking to people, and he went silently, secretly speaking to people. And then what does he tell us? فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, Nuh is telling Allah what he was doing. He says, I told them, فَقُلْتُ, I said, إِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ, ask your Lord to forgive you.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا,
he is verily the one who forgives, all merciful, all forgiving. We know that.
Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna.
This is the time of the month when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would increase constantly. We're driving to our masjid, coming here, we're going home, we're walking to go for iftar, whatever, we should be reciting this dua over and over and over. This was the time of the year when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say it regularly. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni, or fa'fu anna, all of us. So Nuh alayhi salam, he says, I told them to ask their Lord for forgiveness.
Why?
Why? He explains to Allah now why he asked them to ask Allah for forgiveness. And this goes to show us, for those of us that want five things, three in this life, two in the hereafter, do istighfar regularly. He shows us what you get by making istighfar. He says,
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you. When you do regular istighfar, He provides for us beneficial rain. Now at their time, and at many other, you know, times during the past, and even at our time, we see that some places on earth suffer of drought. They don't have any water. There's no water. And the water that's already in the rivers and the lakes, etc., and the seas, they told, you know what, don't use so much of it. Just ration it off because it's going to be a long, hot season. So use less. He says to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send for you a beneficial rain. Imagine, alhamdulillah, we live in Canada and we get beneficial rain all the time. All the time. But this past month, for like 3 weeks, we didn't see rain. And just a couple of days ago it rained, and now alhamdulillah again, it rained as well. Or 3 or 4 days ago, and now a couple of days ago it rained. Beautiful, we get the rain, alhamdulillah. But imagine if the rain came down so thick and heavy that the soil of the ground doesn't absorb it. Some of us know, we've been in countries and we've seen it. In fact, this morning I was watering the plants outside, and because it was very dry, I put an entire jug of water and I was putting it in, and the whole jug, it flooded up to the top, and then it sunk to the bottom, and the top became dry again. Because the soil was so dry, it just folded over. So the dry dirt came onto the top. And I'm like, subhanAllah, I put my finger in it to see, is the dirt even wet? Because the top is dry. You look at it, it's dry. You touch it, it's dry. Where did the water go? So there's different types of earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that to us, that there's different types of earth. And there's earth that absorbs the water, and there's soil that does not absorb the water. And sometimes Allah sends heavy rains to earth that naturally absorbs the water, but because it's too much water, it just creates a flood. It doesn't absorb into the ground. And we see it happening all the time. You open the news, you ask yourself, how is it rain? How does rain cause flooding? It absorbs into the ground. Sometimes it doesn't. Why? Because someone is commanding the earth to either absorb or don't absorb. Take the water or leave the water. Accept the water or reject the water. Who controls that? Allah, not Mother Nature. Allah controls it. Allah sends the rain and He controls the earth to either accept the rain or reject the rain. And here Nuh alayhi salam tells his people, you want beneficial rain that's going to help you and grow your plants, etc.? Do a lot of istighfar. Then he says,
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you lots of wealth. You want money? You want a lot of money? Do a lot of istighfar. You want to be successful at your business? Do a lot of istighfar. You want to be an A student that graduates and gets good grades and then you get an amazing job? Do a lot of istighfar.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ.
And He will not only give you just wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you children. Good children. Those that are amongst us that can't have children or have never had children, and you wish to have children, maybe you're going through, and I know subhanAllah there's people in this masjid, at least two or three, four, five people now I could think off the top of my head that came to me and told me that, you know, we've spent money and gone through tests and tried to have children and we can't. I know there's a brother, subhanAllah, brother and sister living, you know, in Brampton. The brother was telling me once, we spent over $120,000 trying to have children and they never had children. And he's like, we stopped and we just do istighfar. And they don't have children now. And we know cases of people who we tell the same thing, do a lot of istighfar and years later they are granted children. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that it can't happen. It can happen. If He wants it to happen, it could happen. And also those that don't have children, remember, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask the parents that are here. Right? Ask the parents that are here. Yes, their children are a blessing, but at the same time, sometimes they say, you know what, I wish someone would just babysit the children so we could have a break. Or we could do the things we always wanted to do. There are some mothers that may be extremely educated, and they say, you know what, I've never been given the chance to go and work a single day in that profession. They wanted to be, you know, doctors, or they wanted to be teachers, or they wanted to be lawyers, whatever it is. But they never got the opportunity because they got married and got pregnant right after they finished their degree. They never got to work. Then one child came and another child came, and then, oh, the child is so cute, we need to have another child. And then those three children grow older, it's like, oh, we need another child. And then you're given four daughters. You want a son, so you keep trying and trying and trying, and you're only given daughters, so you keep getting more children, and they never get to work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, those that have the children, they say, you know what, I could be more productive with the rest of the world had I not been given children. Don't complain, because there are people that don't have children and they wish to be in your shoes. And those that don't have children, there are people that wish to be in your shoes as well. And so always be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. يُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ You'll get children and you'll get wealth if you constantly do istighfar. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا We mentioned three things that you get in this life. There's two things you will get in Jannah. Jannat, gardens. And we spoke about the gardens the other day. And Anhar, rivers. Rivers flowing. You could do whatever you want with whatever you want in Jannah, subhanAllah. And you'll do whatever it is that is obedient to Allah. It's not that you will now start to do things that are, you know, disliked by Allah. No, because you lived a life of righteousness here on earth, you will want to be even more righteous and thankful when you see what you're given in Jannah. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us those gardens and to give us those rivers that will flow of honey, of milk, of water, of wine, of whatever you want that is pure, that does not intoxicate, that is only good and filled with goodness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how Nuh alayhi salam, you know, indicates to us that he was constantly telling his people to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good things will come to them. But in verse number 13, he asks them a question. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا What is the matter with you that you do not want to attribute to Allah His due grandeur, His status? What's wrong with you? Don't you know that the person who gives you the rain is Allah? Don't you know that the wealth that you earn is Allah? Don't you know that the one who gives you those children is Allah? Don't you know the one who gives you the gardens in Jannah as well as the rivers is Allah? Don't you understand? This is what he's saying to his people. Don't you understand? Don't you reflect? Don't you ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why won't you believe? You just go and do your own thing, Nuh. We're too busy enjoying our lives. And this is the message we learn from Nuh alayhi salam. Let's move on inshaAllah ta'ala to surah number 72, which is suratul jinn. In verse number 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said, indeed we have heard an amazing Qur'an, قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمن نابه It guides to the right course and we have believed in it. And we will never associate with our Lord anyone. So there are from amongst the jinn, this is what we learn here. We learn that there are from amongst the jinn those that believe and those that are amazed by the Qur'an. And in verses number 11 to 17, the jinn admit that there are believers from amongst them as well. So you can read through the verses as well. Verses 11 to 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the jinn. Are the jinn a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Are the jinn in control of that which no one else has control of? No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control over everything. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and safeguard us from the evils that are out there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to come closer to Him and to accept what is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't get scared of the jinn. We should always stand strong and know that we are people of the truth. We have the truth. We believe in the truth. And from amongst the jinn, there are those who also believe in the truth. And we've seen it, we've witnessed it, and we believe it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those that are affected by, you know, being overcome by the jinn. We ask Allah to overcome those evil jinn, which He has power to, and to remove them from those that are troubling us as human beings and believers in Allah. Ameen. I think we will stop there, insha'Allah ta'ala. I'll continue with Surah Al-Muzammil tomorrow. Remember, I said tomorrow we're going to do half of a juz, and the following day a half a juz as well. So we'll stop there for today. Before we go on, please remember Brother Sa'd. You all know Brother Sa'd Hasnain, who's always serving us food. His wife is in the hospital currently, right now. She's only, I think, 37 weeks or 35 weeks pregnant. And I think there's some complications. And I don't know, the brother who conveyed the message to me is not sure if the child is delivered or miscarried. So I don't know the details. So please keep him in your dua and his wife in your dua. I do know that yesterday she was feeling some pains and, you know, was having a little bit of a difficult time because my wife told me yesterday as well. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for her in her hardships and difficulties. They're always here serving us. Honestly, subhanAllah, there are people working behind the scenes, and sometimes we take our food and we get upset. Because they're rushing, right? They're rushing. And we need to remember that they're serving us, and they're only rushing because they're not only concerned about us with our plates in front of their face, they're concerned about the person who's behind us and the people behind them. And they want to make sure that everyone gets to eat before Isha as well, and gets to have some time to rest as well. And so remember, when they're rushing, and sometimes we get upset, I've seen people get upset, don't be upset. Don't be upset. We have to understand it's not easy being in their shoes or being in their position. So let's be thankful to them. Try and help them. Try to give the plates back to others. When they give you your food, take it and go. Take it and go. Just move, inshallah. And make a good dua for them. Say, Jazakum Allahu khayran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for serving us this food. May Allah give you the reward of all of our fasts. Make a good dua for them. When you make a dua for them, Allah is pleased with you and shares the reward with you as well. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those that are going through hardships and difficulties. We ask Allah to help our brother Sa'ad and his wife and family members. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect his mom and his brother who are gone for Umrah at this point in time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those that are suffering and struggling in different parts of the world, in Iraq, in Palestine, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Burma, in Indonesia, in Palestine, in Syria, etc. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Afghanistan to help all those that are suffering and struggling and to bring them ease and comfort. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and grant us forgiveness throughout this month of Ramadan. Tonight is the 25th night of Ramadan. Please take advantage of this night, even if it's something small. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one simple moment, 30 seconds for forgiveness, and you will not regret it. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa jazakum allahu khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.